That's how I feel when only person who can stop you is the man in the mirror. When you look down at your wrists and you see money. When you look at your shoes and you see money. When that scarf on your neck means money. Burberry scars, shrimp and Perignon. Living like a comet, moving amongst the stars. $100,000 sports cars, soap massage, menage a trois. Yes, I've been a boss. Burberry scars, shrimp and Perignon. Living like a comet, moving amongst the stars. $100,000 sports cars, soap massage, menage a trois.
What up, G?
What's up, Holmes? What's good in the hood?
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Debate Network, it's Saturday night. And once again, it's me, not DDP, but the greatest prediction champ in podcast history, the psycho himself, D-O-M. And I am joined, as always, by the founder of Top Rope Wrestling Talk, the man, the myth, with the majestic beard and the Burberry scarf. He is the salt of the earth of podcasting himself. Say it with me in the chat, boys and girls. Bruce.
Yes, I am.
And he knows it.
Yes, I do.
Baby. And yes, do
what
not
the fuck's
attempt.
What's going on?
Oh, Morgue Monster, what's happening? Do not attempt to adjust your screens, boys and girls, because that is not Grandma. No, no. That is the godfather of the Debate Network himself.
I mean, they kind of look alike.
What? Wait a minute. What the fuck?
He does his best to derail the intros. Do you see what I'm saying? We've talked about this before.
I'm not supposed to be here today.
Then why'd you stay?
No,
it's my day off, he said.
It's that, you know, from James and Bob. That's what I thought about.
How do you get called into work on your day off?
How the fuck you get fired? No.
Presidenta Morgan, really?
Is
Presidente.
El Presidente Morgue Monster.
His
Professor
spelling
X
is not
of
the
podcasting
greatest.
Himself and our devious brother. I haven't seen you, boys and girls.
I'm here, guys.
Oh, happy I'm Saturday. Crying. I'm crying. Fucking Bruce, man. Immediately. And before I kick it over to Bruce, I do have to throw one more thing in. Well, two. First and foremost, happy birthday, Pepsi Phil.
Yes.
We love you. We hope you're having fun wherever you are, whatever you're doing. You're having a beer. You're kicking it. You're enjoying yourself. We wish you could be here. We understand. Have fun, homie. It's your day.
Give me 1 minute.
National Pepsi Phil Day, and Brucey has left. So while until Brucey comes back, I'll say this too. I want to give a huge shout out and all the congratulations in the world to the man himself, LA Knight, for officially tying the knot today.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
What? What happened?
LA Knight got married.
What's going on?
Oh, good for him.
Ah, the chef. Mwah, my compliments as always, homie. Yes, yes. Happy birthday, Pepsi Phil.
Well, I read some pretty interesting news today.
Was it on Twitter? I'm just guessing.
It was not on Twitter, but it is about the big dog himself. It is about
MJF?
Daddy Ass.
Oh, that big dog. Okay.
He's trying to throw you guys off, big dog reference. You know, I just trying to have a little bit of fun with it. Nope, Ivan's,
you're going for Roman there for a minute. I was like,
Ivan, I, yeah, okay. When in God's green earth would I go there?
You would. Said big dog. I thought baby. I'm just saying. I know. So, I brought up Roman and he immediately thought,
go fuck yourself.
Yep. That was my exact thoughts. Thank you, Adam.
I deserve it.
So in a recent interview, Daddy Ass told I guess he had told Austin and Colton that his retirement match will not be against his kids. And they weren't too happy about it. But his retirement match, as according to Daddy Ass, the person he wants to wrestle in his last match is none other than Will fucking Ospreay.
Really?
I'm not surprised there.
Directly out of Billy Gunn's mouth. Wow. He's like, I love Will. There is something about him. He does some really cool stuff that I've never done that I just want to take. That's when I tell them all, I'm not wrestling you two for my retirement. I'm wrestling Will Ospreay, he said.
Wow.
So, Dom, what are your thoughts on Billy Gunn? Because, I mean, you know, it's one of those things like, okay, your dad's going to retire. You know, you want his last match to be against you. I mean, you would think, right? So, what are your thoughts on Billy Gunn telling his two boys to go pound sand? He's wrestling Will Ospreay instead.
I mean, for starters, I think Billy has great taste. I'm just saying. I get where they're coming from, but like Will Ospreay is kind of a big deal. And I can't even imagine how that match would go because they are two completely different wrestlers.
Yes.
And now that I've heard it, and I've got it flashing in my mind, I need to see it. Whereas if he has a retirement match with Colton, it's going to be like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm going to tune in. I could always go grab a beer while it's on and then cry at the end. Like, it just doesn't feel, the same. If he has a match with Will Ospreay to end his career, you're like, oh, shit, it's fitting to go down. Like, Billy's going out with a bang. If he fights his sons, you're like, meh.
I mean, we've seen it before.
The only way that any of that would work, because obviously his sons are a tag team. They're tag team wrestlers. They're not singles guys. The only way that would work is if he could get the Road Dogg back in the building. No. And then you have the Old Age Outlaws versus the Gun Club.
No. No.
You gotta love Ivan, boys and girls. You gotta love
Ivan,
the
TV. Look at Ivan on the quick workup. Look at that shit. That shit was quick.
That's what he does, man. I'm jealous. I can't.
like it was just like bam. I don't even think he looked at the rundown.
Oh. Brian to talk about Christian for Daddy of the Year. Well, Billy Gunn just entered the building.
No, Christian's still hands down Father of the Year. Father of the Millennium.
Do we have that in the rundown for the top rope awards for the ropies? Like Father of the Year in wrestling?
I mean, there's only one. So it's a hands down. It's a no-brainer. But Ivan, what are your thoughts on Billy Gunn not wrestling his kids for his retirement match and wanting Will Ospreay?
Well, because he wants to put himself a challenge. I feel like that he wants to challenge himself. You know, we've seen what he could do at his age. I mean, he still got it. Now, keep in mind, in this one, to see if he has the athleticism that what he had back in his days, like the smoking guns the era, going that speed, agility that Will Ospreay has, I think he wants to test that and see and just let everything out there and then just say, okay, I'm done, and then literally leave his wrestling shoes in that middle of the ring and just say, that's it.
You mean again?
Again. The legit one.
I mean, come on, your boy the Undertaker did it. He left his freaking boots, his gloves, his hat, he left his whole goddamn ring attire in the middle of the ring and then came back Cody next year.
Cody did it. Got his head kicked in by Malakai Black and went, you know what? Fuck these boots.
Oh, they're tied up too.
Yes, yes, what? They are. I want to call it Iron Survivor, but I have to stop myself before I call it King of the Mountain.
I don't know what it's called. It's Women's Survivor, but whatever it is. Blair Davenport and Legan Lash, they're both two. So, okay. All right. And by the way, folks, of course, at the same time as we're watching as well, and people that are watching Deadline, yes, we're doing the same. We're doing, of course, Top Rope Wrestling Talk news, and we'll watch it all.
Yeah, we'll break in. Like, Dom lost his title. He lost the North American Championship to Dragon Lee. His father had to be there just to steal his thunder. This is how you know Ray is not his real dad. Because Eddie would have just supported him and stayed in the back.
Eddie would have helped him cheat.
Well, that too. Maybe by the end. But he wouldn't have come out and, like, stolen the spotlight from his own child.
No. Never.
That's Uncle Eddie's son.
Eddie would never do that to his own blood. Unless your name's Chavo.
Unless your name's Chavo. Yeah, true.
Yeah, I went there.
So, High Class, what do you think about this whole thing with Billy Gunn kind of, you know, I guess disowning his children again to go after Will Ospreay in his retirement match?
I mean, the only way to make that match with his kids like a legit match, it'd have to be a triple threat. It would have to be. But then you can't see Austin and Colton wrestling each other. Then it's going to be a 2-on-1 beatdown, and it makes absolute no fucking sense. So Will Ospreay, if that's the person he wants to have his last match with, I say good on you, Billy, because I'll fucking watch it.
I'll watch it.
I'll definitely watch it. Like, as soon as you brought it up, I hadn't seen this news. So as soon as you brought it up, I was like, Ospreay and Daddy Ass. Ooh, I'm intrigued. And Brian says, fuck that. Eddie would stay in the back and have Chavo and Hector help steal the win.
Love that.
Oh, yeah. Dragon Lee is underrated no matter where he goes, but he is highly underrated in WWE.
Go back and look at his matches in New Japan. Matches of the years he had out there. Jeez.
And you think Dijak takes the NXT title tonight? I wouldn't mind seeing that.
What?
Wait a minute. Tempo, is that supposed to be like a Money in the Bank? If you win the Survivor Challenge, you cash in the same day. Is that what it is? I didn't know that. That's interesting. I didn't know that. But what I heard during the pre-talk that they're saying that they'll be at the next event New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, I believe it is, for NXT, is when you get your title shot. That's what I hear, but I don't know.
In regards to Billy and Ospreay, Brian says, I'm watching that match with some Cristal and Hennessy.
Oh, I can't wait too. I think Dijak's gonna win that one. It's gonna be really great. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I didn't know he was still in WWE. I thought he got fired.
He's still there. He's in NXT, and he's back to stealing my family's names. He first stole mine in ROH, and then he stole my son's.
Man, the man got it, man. And we see what he's capable of doing, and he's done it, especially in, you know, the match that, for me, that I always won't forget is the one he had against Dragunov at Vengeance. When he dislocated his finger, I was like, oh, God, it's horrible.
Oh, no, the man has put on bangers in NXT with everyone from Dragunov to way back in the day, like Damian Priest and Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, and all them. Mm-hmm. It's just they put him on the main roster and named him after a thong. That was some bullshit. That's all that was.
So moving along a little bit here. So I just, before I get into what I want to talk about, because it's actually pretty fucking funny, I just want to kind of give TK a little bit of credit for building new female stars in AEW, because it's something that they were lacking. And in that is Julia Hart and Sky Blue.
Yes.
Like they both, I mean, came out of nowhere. Like, we've seen Sky Blue, and then all of a sudden, like, she's one of the top wrestlers for their women's division right now.
Yeah, she really
is. And she's doing amazing. So there was a there was a tweet that went out from All Elite Wrestling basically talking about Toni Storm's backstage interview on Collision a couple weeks ago or last week before their match this past Wednesday, basically telling Renee how upset she was about being upstaged by Sky Blue. And Sky Blue comments on the thing, and she basically says, not basically, this is exactly what she says, she's just jealous my ass goes viral every week.
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, respectfully, she's not wrong. That is a hella ass. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That was a distractingly amazing match to watch, by the way, with Tony and Sky Blue. Because like they were putting on a clinic, but at the same time there were a lot of camera angles that were booty derivative. Just right there. And it's like, come on guys, I'm really trying, but goddamn.
I might be
Billy Gunn's kid because I'm an ass man. So this was hard for me to watch, respectfully.
I think the feud that I'm looking forward to the most is actually seeing Britt Baker and Timeless Toni Storm. I really think that feud could be something and could help elevate their women's division, because I think it was Rampage or it was Collision. I can't remember, that had quite a few female segments and more than one female match on it. I think they had two, maybe three. It seems like Tony's trying to do a little more, but it also kind of seems like Tony's in like an autopilot right now. You know, he's got the Continental Classic. He doesn't really have to put out too many stories right now because all the stories are being self-built, I guess you could say, in this tournament.
Right.
Sorry,
I'm listening. But speaking of females, Blair Davenport just won the Iron Survivor. She's getting a shot at New Year's Evil. So apparently,
thank God, I knew it. And
Cora Jade just came back, so that's dope. Back to the AEW Women's Division. Sorry.
I completely forgot where I was.
Naturally built story.
Women's division.
In the women's division, Tony and Britt.
No, I was just saying overall, in general, I feel like maybe this is a hard reboot for him right now is what he's doing with this tournament, because it doesn't involve any storylines. And if you really think about it, there's only really one major storyline going on, with the small one in the background with House of Black and FTR, and then you've got the MJF storyline. Like that, if you really stop and think about it, like that's it. Everything else is the tournament. And then you've got Toni Storm and Sky Blue right now. But other than that, it almost seems like it's like a hard reboot for him. I really, really, really hope that's what it is. And I hope he gets some help in the back. Ivan, what are your thoughts on Tony actually getting some real help in the back?
I mean, my thing is that, and Phil made a good point on Thursday. I think ever since, you know, Jade Cargill left, he needed to start building some, you know, some women on the roster. I feel that he made the right decision of bringing Mariah, but she's from Stardom. We see what she could do.
Yeah.
But we don't know yet. Maybe we'll see her next week. We're not sure. Hopefully, we'll see her in-ring debut. The best decision was to give Julia Hart the belt. I think that's the best decision, because you helped building her, and her gimmick has gone really up to the roof. Like, oh, man. Seeing her, what she's doing, fantastic. And she improved a lot from what we saw from the beginning of time, for her being of the cheerleader to where she's at right now, currently in this mistaker, how Tom would say.
Yeah.
So that is for
the dead woman.
And, And for Sky Blue, I'm glad that she's, you know, finding herself, finding a character too that is almost similar to Julia, but we don't know what it is. We, as it continues to grow, and we'll see it itself. Willow Nightingale, of course, she's getting there. Of course, the attention, but not like for so. I don't know. This is always the issue that I have with Tony Khan. Is like you really need to really have a team of building this women's division.
Yes.
To have to attract the audience and giving them time, not just one fucking match on a 2-hour show. Do that for all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, even the whole four of them on Ring of Honor on Thursdays. Do it all.
Right.
Give them 2-3 matches at least. You know, make it interesting.
Jerry Lynn's got one of the best storylines going in women's wrestling right now with Athena.
That is the only thing that is, well, Billy Starks is not going to be the one line. So, you know, that's something that's good. And hopefully we'll see how that turns out to be. Next Friday for the final battle
final battle
I think
so we'll see how it's going to be. Timeless Toni Storm, how director said it a while back, he's happy that she found the character. There is a character finally that we get to see, that we are, instead of just wearing a hat and just being, hey, I'm a punk rock girl now, is we're seeing a developing character of her. Was it the best decision for her to win the belt? I don't mind it. The one thing is that I wish it could have been against Saraya, because from there it could have started the feud, or unless they're saving the feud, heading to that direction. We don't know yet. That's different. We do not know as of yet. Right now they do need a lot of these, like how you mentioned, the storylines. The best one by far is in this women's, is Julia Hart and the Timeless Toni Storm, because they're giving us attraction, and that's what we want. You want asses on seats to see what they you know what they bring. And especially with this Abaddon and Julia Hart, that shit reminds me of Bray Wyatt and Taker. I'll tell you that right now. God rest
her. Right. I mean, imagine like we talked about last week, like a female House of Black, where you just throw Sky Blue next to Abaddon and Julia Hart.
What's going on, Getcho?
That shit. What's up, Getcho? And D-Man and Kof.
Yes,
and yeah, I'm with Kofi on that. I love that Toni Storm is so invested in this character. I love that we're finally seeing Toni Storm portraying a character, because she's always been Toni Storm, you know, the chick in the hat or the chick in the jacket or, you know, the punk rock chick. She's like Shotzi Blackheart with a big ass most of the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And now she's actually able to explore that creative side and come up with this timeless character. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah.
That absolutely blows you the fuck away, even if you're sitting there watching it in a teeny, teeny, tiny screen next to the commercial and there's no sound.
And I'm going to say this because I read it over and over again. People get mad. Motherfuckers, they're all silent films. If we were to watch it on the whole screen, there would still be no sound. That's why it's played during picture and picture.
Again, y'all, if you watch AEW, it's like Sammy with the posters. Mm-hmm. There was never any sound to that. It was just him and commercial flipping poster boards that said shit on it. If they put it full picture, it's going to be the same fucking thing. Come on now. I know there's a lot that I have to explain to certain people who don't watch the product all the time, but that seems pretty fucking cut and dry.
And by the way, off the subject, Brian Pillman looks fucking different.
It's Lexi whatever the fuck now.
Yeah, I still call him Brian. I don't give a damn.
Lexus King.
Lexi King.
His hairstyle and his, like, the way how he looks right now, I don't know if he fucking shaved his eyebrows. But man, he looks so fucking different.
He looks so different. He's got like the weird cornrowed hair going on. The mullet is gone. The eyebrows are gone. What the fuck is going on with this?
He reminds me of, you know, that of fucking Sim Bodhi when it was what's his face?
When he was Kazarni.
Kazarni. That's what kind of reminds me.
It does look very similar. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I see it now. I see it now.
He really did a makeup. He's like, I want to be like my dad. I want to be myself. Good for you.
He looks like somebody that like fucked up and waxed off one of his eyebrows when he was trying to thin them out. So he just had to wax off the other one. Because they used to be thick as fuck, and now they're not even existent. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. We're derailing again. As far as the AEW women's division goes, it's awesome to see Sky Blue basically come off of YouTube, because she spent a good portion of her time before this, like either on NWA Power or AEW Dark, get to, you know, Dynamite itself and be featured the way that she is. And she's completely earned it. She's put in the work. She's even worked on her character a little bit. Maybe not on Timeless Toni Storm's level, but she's definitely put some work in. And I think Temple just brought her up. I would love to see Britt and Toni, but what I really want to see is Jamie Hayter and Toni Storm right there. That would be amazing. Jamie Hayter comes back and looks at her and goes, who the fuck are you and what happened?
I see Jamie Hayter returning at Revolution.
I think so too.
That's when her return is going to be.
I would be so excited. I miss Jamie Hayter so badly. I miss her like BPJ misses his eyebrows, straight up.
I think Britt's going to have a title match, and Jamie's going to come out after Toni cheats to win.
But I do think it's cool that you're bringing these women to the forefront, that you're creating new stars, and you're getting them a little more involved in your show. I would like to see more matches. I really would. I'm not saying it's got to be two every show, but at least, you know, when necessary, put a couple on Dynamite or put a couple on Collision or do something. Oh. But Jesus fucking Christ, like they have built, oh God, Julia Hart up from Lexi's background dancer when he had eyebrows to the dead woman in a matter of months.
There was a small blip of a rumor that AEW was considering making Rampage an hour-long all-women's show.
I'd be all in for that, no pun intended.
I don't mind it.
I don't either.
I might even do a Friday watch along for that if they did it. I would love that.
Like here's the thing, like WWE's not doing it. No. Everyone says Toni doesn't care about the women's division. Here you go. I just gave that whole division a 1 hour devoted just to them on television. Let's start getting the women's division over.
On that, Bruce. The problem is this going to be every week, or is this going to be a one-time thing? That's the question.
Well,
hear me out on this one.
Yeah.
I get your point about what you say about WWE. I'm not defending WWE fully, but they have a three-hour show on Mondays. They have a two-hour show on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially, 2 hours. So they can figure that out. And they, within those 2 hours, they do have women matches of SmackDown. They do have women matches on Raw. Huh? Is it consistent? I want to say fully, but it's more than what Tony Khan does. I can tell you that. Because tell me what he has done within the last 6 months of his women's division besides giving the belt to these two women. You have any matches they'd be giving every week? One,
like always.
That's where it needs to change. That's where the digression is. You have three programs. Four, if I include a Ring of Honor. You're telling me that you can't include two matches within those three, four programs. You're only going to do one? That's ridiculous. That's why Jade Cargill left in the first place, because she knew that her future was not going to go nowhere. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
But I think one of it's
fine. I'm happy with this decision, with the storylines that he's going with this. I don't know who's helping him. Maybe it's Kenny Omega, but they got to do it better. They need to stay. They got to start. You know, come on. Red Velvet one time. Kiera Hogan one time. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, he gotta fix it up.
You know what I think it is? Is Toni gives these guys too much time for their matches. 25-minute matches, 20-minute matches, 30-minute matches. You know, that's a 30-minute match in a two-hour show is a lot of match.
I mean, I understand them doing this sort of thing with the tournament where they have like 20-minute matches and they're like, oh, it's been 15. That's not so bad, but sometimes you don't need a half an hour for some of these matches. You just don't. No. It's like, all right, somebody's already hit their finisher three times. We should be over with this shit by now. It's going another 5 minutes, folks. Why?
And don't get me wrong. I like myself a good long match with a lot of close calls. You know, I just that's something I enjoy in wrestling. But at the same time, those lengthy matches, in my opinion, should be saved for the pay-per-views. You can still build your feuds with 10-minute matches, 12-minute matches. Then you can get more matches in, and you can fit more women's matches in. And I think, and that's what WWE does so well with their women's division. That's why they can get two and three women's matches on a night, because they're not afraid to be like, look, dude, you got 10 minutes. You got a 10-minute match. You got a 10-minute match. You got a 15.
I mean, honestly, typically, if you watch, even if you watch Dogging with De Niro here, the last half hour of Raw, that last half hour is not always dedicated to the main event.
Yeah.
That's true.
And a mid-card match on Dynamite will get a half an hour. And you're right. That's part of the issue. I'm not going to say the problem, because a lot of the times we get good matches out of it, but you can't put multiple women's matches on a show where the middle of your show has a half hour match, then your main event is a half hour. Like, that's half your show.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do now?
And honestly, I think that's the one thing that's hurting the product.
Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing as many superstars or wrestlers. Sorry, my fault. My bad, Tony. you're not seeing as many wrestlers as you want to see on a show. You know, could they keep the Hardy Boys happy and put them on Dynamite? Absolutely. They could put them in a 10-minute tag match. Do you know how many 10-minute tag matches those motherfuckers have had in WWE?
I mean,
and they were like, get yourself over.
I suppose they could, but it kind of feels like the Hardys have turned into a meme. They show up someplace, everybody loves them, then Jeff gets busted, and then they want to leave. Like, what are you gonna do? You gonna go back to WWE where they were gonna put you in rehab and then the Hall of Fame?
No, they're gonna if they leave, they're going to Impact.
Then everybody will love them, and Jeff will get busted, and they'll want out.
Where do you think the Broken Hardys came from? Where do you think they're the best gimmick they ever had?
I am well aware. If anything, it started popping off in ROH, and then they transitioned it. But I'm just saying, the Hardys act is starting to look like copy paste in different promotions. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Matt's going to do some great stuff, and then they're going to come back together, and everybody's going to be happy, and then Jeff's going to fuck up, and then eventually they're going to get taken off TV, and they're going to want out.
Here's the thing, we've had our nostalgia with them. Honestly, I think it's time to let them walk. Let them go. Save yourself some money. Go out and get yourself a big free agent. I hear Okada's up for sale as well.
Yeah, Okada and your favorite, Deonna Purrazzo, free agents. God.
She's fucking
Ivan
horrible.
And Pepsi Phil were just talking about them on Thursday.
Yep. How big of a win would it be for Tony to not only sign Will Ospreay, but also sign fucking Okada away from WWE?
Right? And
you want to bring up what we talked about? Because I can bring it up very brief. Here's the thing. Okada, he's good friends with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an advantage, both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Khan has, of course, Kenny Omega that is good friends with Okada.
Right.
And you got TKO, which they have Shinsuke Nakamura, who, of course, they're very good friends with Okada. The one thing on this that Pepsi Phil and I kind of mentioned that I don't see it happening. The only way that Tony Khan can make it happen, he has to pay him a lot of money. And he has to give him that condition that the same as Will Ospreay. You're going to stay where you live, but just come as much as you can. You think Kata will want to do that? Maybe so. He could do it.
Maybe.
Keep in mind that his wife is an actress. He gets paid a lot of good money where she's at, you know, in the acting scene in Japan. And, of course, their newborn is still not even a year old yet. So it's like, you think he wants to move to the U.S.? No, I don't. He doesn't want to do that.
Probably not.
You think that he's? Do you think that Tony Khan will give him a lot of money that he's going to ask for him to stay part time? Could he just live? Yeah. Maybe so. But how would you book this man? You think he's going to want to do that? I don't think so. At the same time, the only thing I see him, I see Okada staying, if Gato tells him what I said this Thursday, you make him the head booker of that fucking, of that roster. And make him the next guy.
Wow. You know,
so you already made him the next guy in the ring. Make him the next guy behind the scenes. Because Okada has all of this right here. And he has helped a lot of people that he developed in New Japan. I give him credit where credit's due. Okay. But in this case, it's a tough decision. But I feel that at the end, I think Bushida boards and Gato will fucking have to pull out money out of their pockets and give him the world to fucking Okada for him not to leave. They lost a lot of people. They can't lose anymore. Right now, they're just barely building, you know, they're rebuilding their roster. Future stars like David Finley. Okay, they need to focus on him more. You still got Tama Tonga who's still there. You know, you still got, you know, you got Shota Umino who they're trying to build up. There's a lot of people that they need that help. And Naito can't do it by himself, nor Tanahashi can. They got to need Okada to do it too. So this is going to come down to, in my opinion, that he's going to stay. I think Bushido Board and Gato are going to give him the whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah. I don't see it. Wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't. I mean, and I got to say, it's always good time when we got high class on screen and low class in the chat. What is happening, Mr. Universal?
What up, my dude?
Dieterle. Check out the Universal Podcast. Always a banger. We love you, dude. And when it comes to Okada, I tend to agree with Temple here. It's like, what is WWE going to do with him that they haven't done with Shinsuke? Like, I get the idea of like, oh, TKO can get Shinsuke to talk to him. Well, what's Shinsuke going to say? Hey, come here and you can toil in the back and never become a fucking champion. Hey, oh, yeah, that's great.
And here's the thing.
But you also have to look at it from a standpoint of Okada as well as Ospreay and all these guys. They already have a working relationship with Tony Khan and AEW. That gives him a foot in the door. I said the same thing about Ospreay before he showed up. Where's he at now?
And here's the thing. Okada can sign with WWE, but that motherfucker walks out the curtain at Royal Rumble. Ain't a damn soul in that entire arena that's going to know who the hell Kazuchika Okada is. Nobody.
They do.
Come on.
That's something that we talked about on Thursday. You gonna tell me that people don't know who Okada is? Come on, bros.
I'm not saying people. I'm saying a lot of WWE fans don't know who Okada is.
They do know who Okada is.
A lot of WWE fans don't know who AEW are. Okay? Let alone Okada.
They do. They just act like they don't. Because they're in the WWE in event. They're not going to act like that. Of course, people do know. You gonna tell me they don't know who the fuck was AJ Styles when he showed up at the Royal Rumble? He was in Japan before he even went to WWE.
No, he was in TNA before he even went to Japan.
Okada was in TNA.
Yeah, but he was running around with a mask on like the Green Hornet's friggin' little fucking.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So don't give me that people knew who Okada was in TNA.
If you're going to tell me that the audience who don't watch New Japan and watch the matches he had at matches of the year, they know who he is.
And they didn't even know who Cody Rhodes was until he actually walked out. The whole crowd went fucking stupid, deaf, and dumb, and didn't... Didn't know the music from hell until he walked out, and then the place went nuts. If you're a well-known and you're that popular, as soon as your fucking music hits, the place goes fucking crazy before you even walk out that curtain. And tell me when I'm telling lies, Ivan.
You gonna tell me that? Really? We had to do a watch.
We had to do that. wasn't bad enough to see CM Punk's talking trash on Friday. We got to do that too.
Yes. Speaking of the second best wrestler, the second best wrestler in the world behind MJF, CM Punk. I'm actually quoting the real second best wrestler in the world, and that's Seth fucking Rollins. Yes, I said fucking. I ain't saying freaking because freaking's PG. We're not PG around this bitch.
No.
That's right. Never will be.
We stay.
The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intense.
Yes. Yes, it is.
We stay that way.
Yes, it is.
4 years.
So Seth Rollins had an interview on Sports Illustrated Media Pod. And they asked him the golden goose question. They asked
the $1 million.
They asked him about CM Punk and why he didn't like him. And I quote, he, quotation CM Punk, said some really bad things about me. Talked down about me for years and the company for years. I'm talking some really bad stuff. Called me a bootlicker and crap like that. You don't know me. You don't know what I stand for. I'm a loyal person, and I felt pretty insulted by a lot of the ways he treated me. Treated the place I worked for, treated friends that I worked with. I don't need to get into any of the stuff with Colt Cabana. If you want to look at it, at that kind of stuff, that's out there. Just the way he treated people. The man is a douchebag. Douchebag.
Was that a direct quote, or are you saying that?
No. Well, no. The douchebag part's from me. But
either way, the preceding quote is complete and total fact from Seth Rollins.
Yes, that is 100% a quote from Seth Rollins. Dom. What are your thoughts, and what are your thoughts of also like following up on the Rollins quote on CM Punk calling out Rollins for not being the man in his household?
I was just about to bring that up because we had Seth's quote or Seth's interview, and then Friday Punk came out on SmackDown, addressed the crowd, and he started talking about Seth without mentioning his name because, you know, God forbid, that might be something a man would do. We can't do that. And said, you know, I'd like to challenge him, but he's not even the man in his own house. And I thought it was a little hypocritical considering the fact I think most wrestling fans would probably rather see CM Punk's wife come back than him at this point.
There's rumors.
Yes.
There's been rumors every year since.
Dare I say there's those rumors in your window? I'm just.
Well, we know that's not going to happen, but now that he's back in WWE, what do you think? You think he's not going to do like. Hey, they want to induct you to the Hall of Fame. Show up to the Rumble. Don't be surprised that happened.
Right? I was just about to say, would it surprise me at all if at the Women's Royal Rumble you hear AJ Lee's music and she comes skipping down to the ring? No.
I don't even...
Yes.
Not at all.
But here's the thing. Like, I don't even remember AJ Lee's music. So how am I going to get excited if I don't even remember what her music sounds like? It's not like Punk where it's cult of personality and it was a popular song before he even used it as friggin' entrance music.
No, of course we know that.
What?
No, what you said is right. You're right.
Oh.
True.
Wow. I'm just saying, once people see AJ Lee skipping to the ring.
Oh, bro, I'm agreeing with you. Jesus.
Once people see AJ skipping to the ring, they're actually gonna be happy.
Hold on, I'm sorry. You know what?
I'm serious. I'm not going to sit back and take this fucking shit.
You're bullshit, Tony Khan, especially you, Bruce. You're bullshit.
You! Bullshit!
Wow.
Yeah, he went there.
I still love you.
I love you too, bro. So, what are your thoughts on these comments, Ivan? Ivan, lay it out there. Lay it all out there. Give us your thoughts.
It's a work, man. I guarantee you, these guys already talked. They talked already. You're going to tell me that they ain't talking and sit down and like, hey, you know what? Let's bygones. Let's work it out. All right, cool. What can I say about the comments?
In the Godfather's defense here, Seth Rollins said a lot of this shit about Cody Rhodes, too.
And he did do that, too. We know it's a fucking work. It's a work. And we saw what happened on SmackDown.
They'll be teaming up together for fucking War Games next year, Punk and Seth Rollins.
But we already know. But it's not much really to say about it. We just know it's a work. And, I mean, this is the, Rollins' case. I mean, maybe he spoke. We heard of prior conversations, the topic of him bringing up a Punk. We've heard it. He said it. He doesn't mind working with him. Of course, I don't care, what he does. You know, he could use his fire abyss. Yes, he could. And Rollins, that tempo. That would be awesome.
When he wrestles Seth Rollins, burn it down.
I would love that.
Oh, can we have an Inferno match? We haven't had one of those since, like, Taker and Kane.
Oh, my God, right?
No, but I personally hope it's a shoot. Even after saying all that, I hope it's a shoot. And I hope they do end up having like a match, and Seth just stiff fucking blasts the hell out of him the entire time. Because if anyone is deserving of that type of shit, it is CM Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Agreed.
I hope he puts CM Punk through some real glass. There. I fucking said it. I really don't give a flying fuck. Fuck him and everybody like him.
Wow. I hope he wrestles Braun. I know Braun Strowman is actually a really, really, really safe worker, but I hope Punk wrestles Strowman when he comes back and Strowman stiffs him like he did to friggin' Brock Lesnar.
Knocks him out cold. Return,
I would laugh my ass off.
I hope his return is against Nia Jax and she breaks his fucking face. Again, don't give a fuck. If you like him, cool. I don't. Break his fucking face, Nia. Just don't make him famous like Becky.
Right? Right?
I mean, wouldn't that be a bitch where he's talking shit about Seth and Becky and all of a sudden Nia breaks his face like Becky? That would just be some karma for your ass. I'm just saying. Inferno match at WrestleMania 40, Damian Priest versus Finn Balor. I mean, anything Inferno match, I'll show up for.
Oh, yeah?
Not really, because you're going to say Matt Sydal, then I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself again, and I don't want to have
to. I was waiting for that.
But, I mean, It needs to, in my eyes, it needs to be a shoot because I want to see Seth Rollins kick the living shit out of him. I really do. Okay. It would prove like, hey man, okay, you're back. You've got this clause and everything. Let's see what happens if we just keep you here. If you're not, if you get in the title picture and you lose and your next match is against LA Knight, and you lose, or we put you in a mid-card feud with The Miz because we got nothing better for you. Then let's see what you do.
Yeah. No, he's no.
Because he was willing to play ball in the other company until they started showing him the brass ring, and then once he grabbed it, all of a sudden Doucheville came out.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. That is kind of how it happened.
It is kind of repetitive too, because it happens everywhere with that man and a title. You name it, ROH, WWE, AEW, same fucking shit.
Yeah,
he's always the good dude that the crowd loves, and he's willing to work and all that shit. That he gets the title, and all of a sudden, he is a bigger diva than AJ Lee ever was, and she's a multi-time Divas champion.
I wonder who she's going to make out with when she comes back. Wasn't that her thing?
No. Well,
yeah, it was like she made out with Cena. She made out with Dolph. She made out with Kane. She made out with Punk
at the end. And then she's like, well, I guess I'm stuck with you. I might as well marry you. That was the storyline.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was weird. It was very weird.
It'd be funny to watch her come back and kiss like Raquel Gonzalez or something. Someone that's really fucking tall because she's so short.
Well, like Kane, she'd have to jump on her. Like,
exactly.
Remember when Kane, she like jumped up on him, like wrapped her legs around him and everything?
Yep.
I'm sorry, wrestling fans. Do we need a minute? Might be getting hot in here.
All right, Dom. This next one is just for you, and you can gloat and go on a tangent and talk about how amazing this match is going to be and all of this stuff. And I won't interrupt you, and I won't talk shit. I'm giving you the platform to start this segment about Cody Rhodes and Shinsuke Nakamura's up and coming feud. Here you go. Here is your platform.
I mean, what is there to say? Look at these two guys. Shinsuke Nakamura as a heel right now is unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is the best heel run he's had in WWE, which is not saying much because what are we comparing it to? Like, when he used to run around talking about kicking AJ Styles in the nuts? Like, yeah, of course it's going to be better. But this is some quality heel shit. And the fact that he's targeting Cody now, of all people, because he's like the super baby and all that. And then the talent level, like that just makes this match coming up on Raw like must fucking see. Must see. Hmm. You got two guys who have literally been all over the world, came here, done amazing things. Sadly, neither one of them's never won a world title, and that. Just
no, that's the unfortunate.
That just grinds my gears, but I digress.
I don't have the appetite. No.
Almost what? An AJ Lee and Omos sexual chocolate live sex celebration.
Oh my god.
There is no way Kevin or no way CM Punk would not freak out about that. KO kicking the shit out of Owens. That would be fun.
This, this whole, I don't know. This is too mid-card-y feud. Like, I don't know. This is too, I feel like these are two guys that are trying way too hard.
Royal Rumble winners in a mid-card match.
But that's what they are. They're mid-card wrestlers.
But they're not.
What was it? What titles has Cody won since he's been back in WWE?
None.
Yes. Tag titles for what? Well, that, 14 hours.
Okay.
But I was mid card singles, but yeah.
Who was in the Survivor Series main event? Cody Rhodes.
Only because of the match style that it was. If it was traditional,
who did Randy Orton give the pin to in that match? Cody Rhodes. You're not doing that for a mid-carder.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. They do it all the time.
They really don't.
This is
WWE. They really fucking don't. They might in AEW, but not WWE. If you're getting the win in a main event at a pay-per-view, it's because you're a big deal.
No. No.
Really?
He's not a big deal. He's dropped back down the ladder. He's fallen in his spot in WWE.
That's the guy that doesn't
same,
watch WWE.
Which is the same spot he was in when he left.
Says the guy that doesn't watch WWE.
Who said I don't watch it?
You did!
You did say that.
But sometimes I do.
You did, bro.
Sometimes I do. I don't know. I Punk even said it Friday night. He's the monkey wrench in finishing the story and all of this shit. And he's going to main event WrestleMania.
The Monday before putting the seal of approval on CM Punk, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. But that same backstabbing.
He's kind of a big deal.
Who, CM Punk? I know.
Punk is the mid-carder. Cody is kind of a big deal.
CM Punk wins the world title before Cody Rhodes.
CM Punk won a world title 10 years ago in WWE.
No, 12. I'm talking in this return. in both of their returns right now, CM Punk wins the world title before Cody.
There's no way in hell.
No?
There's no way.
Okay.
Cue the Vince McMahon music, because there is no chance in hell.
Okay.
So you're telling me, like, because the only way that's going to happen is if, say, Punk beats Seth Rollins at the Royal Rumble. So you think they're going to bring him back at Survivor Series and make him a world champion by Royal Rumble? Because that worked out so well in the other company. And there, too.
No.
They made him wait in the other companies, and he still became a dick. Imagine what happens if they throw a belt on him immediately.
Did you not see the promo Friday night when he declared himself for the Royal Rumble?
I did.
Yes, he did.
Doesn't mean he's going to win.
Yeah, he is.
Are you kidding? That motherfucker could break Santino Marella's record, and I'll laugh my ass off.
Not going to happen.
Elimination ever.
That's not going to happen.
It would more likely happen to him than Cody Rhodes.
What, winning? Yeah. Punk's
no, getting
win.
Eliminated in record time.
No.
Cody's got the better chance of winning. Yo, why he won last year?
He came in at 30.
Okay. So did John Cena. Big fucking whoop. They were both coming back from an injury. So fuck what? Still won.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Randy Orton came in at 30-1. Then the following year, came in earlier.
Yeah, but Randy Orton deserves every title.
Stone Cold. And Cody's going to be right up there with him. You're going to be bitching about mid-card. Okay.
Just because he's won the Royal... Hacksaw Jim Duggan won the very first Royal Rumble. That dude was nothing but a mid-carder his entire life. It don't mean shit.
Okay, name another Rumble winner who was a mid-carder his entire life.
Go ahead. Preach it, Bruce.
Go ahead. Name another one. That was the first. Name another one. There's been like 38 Royal Rumbles. Name another mid-carder that won it.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm just saying. because I can't remember the winner of all 38 Royal
Rumbles. Which
was
the other mid card? Was it the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, The Undertaker, Stone Cold, Randy Orton, twice The Rock, John Cena, Triple H, Roman Reigns? Where's the mid carder? There isn't one.
I gave you one.
The first Rumble, the very first. Nobody even knew what the fuck it was. They didn't even think it was going to be a big deal. They put it out pre-recorded on VHS.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going there randomly? Okay.
Yeah!
Thank you, Ellie.
All I know is that I'm happy that this match is going to happen on Raw, so we'll see how it turns out to be. I think the story's going to continue. At least one thing I'm happy for is at least Nakamura is doing something. That's what I'm happy at least.
And at least he's...
Yeah, it sucks that he doesn't get a title. He should have won the title against AJ, I'll tell you that. That out debate. They should have given him because they... This is where... Let's say this is now TKO's now decision of what they want to do. Because now that they're the full owners, Vince ain't there no more. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Vince ain't there.
Right.
In this case, if they want to go ahead and market Japan, then they'll put Nakamura under the belt on for sure. Why not? That's what I would have done. Especially right now with the market in Japan is not as great as what people think it is.
That would be how to entice Okada is what that would be. Oh, look at Nakamura.
Okada.
You could be too.
In the belt, then make him beat the Roman Reigns for that belt. Then they'll be like, "Oh shit!" Then yeah, that'll be something.
Okay, other mid carders that have won the Royal Rumble: Big John Studd.
The man's a Hall of Famer.
Rey Mysterio.
He won the world title.
Sheamus.
Also won the world title.
But still mid-carders. Drew McIntyre is now a mid-carder.
Now, yes. Then,
okay,
no.
But they're still mid-carders.
And they all went on to become world champions.
I mean, Brock Lesnar, that dude's the biggest mid-carder out of all of them.
Oh, Jesus Christ, just stop. Just stop.
I mean, hold on. Shinsuke Nakamura.
He won it, but he never won the belt.
Really?
Go fuck yourself.
You can tell me to go fuck myself.
I really tried.
You can tell me to go fuck myself. But stop and think. What's Nakamura's career been since the Royal Rumble?
It's been the same card. It's to honestly nothing. No, you want to know the answer? The answer is the same.
Go fuck yourself.
But I think being the mark that he is for, I think Devious One would back me up on this. You can look at any of Shinsuke's title opportunities and say he should have beat blank. He should have beat Jinder. He should have beat AJ. He should have beat Seth.
Yep.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, but Vince didn't want it, so it didn't happen.
I know. That's why it's, now it's
okay, true. But Vince ain't there no more.
He ain't there no more. Oh, nice. Well, gentlemen, I gotta get going.
Hmm.
So, but I left overlays. I left the overlays, and of course, everything else is there for the next topics are there, so you'll see them. DOM.
I got you. All
right. I love you guys. I'll be watching you go. I'm on the road, so I'll be watching.
Have fun. Thank you for stopping by, Devious Brother. If you feel like coming back, and we're here, feel free. We love you.
If I'm done very quick, what I'm doing, then yes, I'll come back.
Right. No problem. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Love you back. Bye.
Bye.
Whoa, why did it flip back? Okay, there we go. Whoa. Oh, that's the wrong one. No, that's right.
That's the wrong. No. No, that's done. I'm done telling you about talking about this mid-card confusion.
Mid-card. Jesus Christ. Anyway, it's going to be a tremendous match. It'll probably be the main event, and it'll probably steal the show anyway, so tune into Raw for that alone. That is going to be worth it. It is going to be a slobber knocker. I'm gonna fucking love it.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the devil.
Oh yes, please let's.
let's talk about the devil, because there's more and more rumors and innuendos and
rumors innuendo, yes,
all coming out. You know, people are saying that the four guys is Pinnacle. It's FTR, it's Sean Spears, and Wardlow. Is what's being thrown around now. But at the same time,
go ahead.
No, you're good.
No, I was gonna say the thing is, there's so many rumors of who it could be, and it's a shame that Grandma never showed up, because we've never really had a chance with, you know, just schedules and watch alongs and whatever to actually talk about this. It like exactly who the fuck is this guy already?
right. Like, I don't know. Deep down, I still think it's Adam Cole. I still think his foot injury is a work, because he's been on TV way too much. I don't
know. That's true. I mean, he's been missing for the last few weeks, but there's so many. Like, obviously, the most recent one was maybe the speculation that Hangman was the devil because of the tag match getting broken up and MJF being knocked cold in the back with a beer bottle.
Yeah, I was getting ready to get to that. I don't know. Like, you know, the big guy is Hammerstone. That changes. It does. I would love
to see that.
I would love for it to be Hammerstone, because that's someone that Tony can use to build the company around. I think he'd make a great acquisition, however you say it. I think him and Richard Holiday would be great to have in AEW.
Would it? Would it be a trip if MJF is still the devil all along?
No, it'd be amazing.
Because we've seen these segments.
I'd be happy as shit.
We've seen these segments that are obviously Devil on the Tron, Max in the ring, right? Mm-hmm. We've never actually seen the Devil and Max in the same place yet.
Yeah.
That's gonna be, there's that option. There's Hangman. There's the Pinnacle reforming without him. And then on top of it, you know, after, and I think Temple brought this up and a few other people, like after Roddy's big promo and blow up, throwing the wheelchair, and then this happens to Max, and you know, you think you add Wardlow to the three of them,
mm-hmm.
four dudes with Roddy as the devil. He's been mad at him ever since he stole his best friend.
Yeah, that is very true.
So that's the chances of all of these are like pretty damn probable.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I feel like maybe Hangman is probably the one with the worst chance.
I do too, because he's coming off those that grueling battles with Swerve.
Right.
I think he's gonna go into like a character reboot again. Hopefully he goes back to the drunk Hangman.
Accusation, my dear Bruce.
That's
in
right.
Sherlock Holmes, that's, voice.
That's right.
Yeah, I think Hangman is probably the lowest percentage chance of all of them. But then when you look at it, could it be Adam Cole? Maybe. Could it be MJF himself just playing people this whole time, including Joe? Maybe. Probably. Could it be Roddy just, you know, being a hater because Max has got the title, Max has got Adam, Max has got all this, and he's stuck in a wheelchair with a neck brace and a couple guys nobody cares about? Maybe.
I honestly, I wouldn't put it past being Sean Spears. I really wouldn't. Because right before the whole split with Wardlow, you know, the Sean Spears accountability buddy for Wardlow mm-hmm. was Sean Spears, and he was MJF's right-hand man after Pinnacle broke up, and that was the pinnacle, no pun intended, of Spears' career at that point in AEW.
I think
Sean coming back and being that guy again for Max could work. It really could, you know, and it could give that split between Max and Adam, you know, or Adam turns on Max, whichever.
Oh, okay. See, I mean, if Sean Spears was the devil and he was running with the rest of the Pinnacle, I would kind of understand that. Because while that was technically like the peak of his AEW career, he and Max have had kind of a long-standing rivalry before that.
Mm-hmm.
Where you literally saw him at like autograph sessions sitting next to each other going like this, you know? And maybe he's a little pissed off at Max. Like maybe Max forgot about him when he went and had a baby and all this other stuff and went on to bigger, better things. And now he wants revenge. Again, that's a little slimmer than, say, you know, it being MJF all along or it being Roddy, because these are guys that we've seen in the forefront on Dynamite.
Yeah.
And I would love the big guy to be Hammer. I'm still believing that it's Wardlow, because he has said time and time again, like, he doesn't even want a title shot. He just wants to get after Max and hurt him.
Yeah.
And what better way than by doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would take Max out of the running for being the devil, but it would put it smack bang on Roddy, which would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it could. You know, and again, it could go back to being Richard Holiday. Maybe him and Hammer, maybe that is him and Hammer, and they're coming to AEW to get their revenge on Max for leaving Dynasty and MLW and basically letting it fall apart once he left.
Yeah. Yeah, or leaving them behind point blank.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, it's highly possible, but then you got this whole thing with Hammer now where maybe his contract dispute is a work and maybe they were just putting it into TV.
No, it's not.
Joined a new clique and all that in MLW. And, you know, I don't know. I would love to see Holiday and Hammerstone in AEW. I think they'd be the perfect fit.
Absolutely.
I don't know if Hammerstone's available. Because I don't know if this contract shit is just work as part of the story to put him in a new clique, or if it's an actual shoot and he's just kind of playing out, you know, the final bit of his deal in a similar way to what MJF did before ending his run in MLW and moving to All Elite full time.
It is 100% not a work, and our boy Hammer was on the X and basically said he had just fulfilled his last obligation to MLW, and I think he said in the beginning of January he will be a free agent.
So in other words, you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance.
I like it.
There is a very, very, very good chance.
And you know what, Temple? The way you're putting this, I wouldn't mind seeing a three-team blood and guts match with these competitors. Jesus Christ. Like that, yeah. That would be pretty freaking epic right there. What if the devil is Tony Khan himself? He's worried that MJF will retain and walk out of AEW with the world title like Punk did at Money in the Bank prior to the bidding war of 2024.
I see, and here's the thing, Temple. When Punk was in AEW, that, I believe, is what they were building to with Max, and they were going to have that match.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been at the beginning of the year at Revolution or whatever. It would have been CM Punk versus MJF to unify the Real World's title and the AEW title at Revolution. So
it didn't feel like we were headed in that direction, and then so of Punk course did, Punk didn't
walk
up.
Out. Yeah, Punk started talking shit and walking out. But
and now he will headline the 2-for-1.
Yeah, the two for one
special on night
four. Yeah, on night four.
Asshole.
What a dick.
I mean,
all right. I mean,
Tony's a possibility, and I like the way you're thinking with that. It makes a lot more sense than Britt Baker. I think we can acknowledge that it's not Britt Baker. Like, we've seen the guy, we've seen the devil, and the devil does not look like, is not built like Britt Baker. Like, they would have to use some heavy tape and things to keep that in, is all I'm saying. It'd be kind of hard to cover that up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, before we lock this mother trucker down. Mm. So we are doing an end of the year 2023 TRWT awards.
Yeah, we'll be handing out the fourth annual ropies.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we will. So basically, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 categories.
Yeah.
And we're going to have 3 selections in each, and we're going to post them in group, and we're going to make them as polls, and we're going to allow every single one of you in the world of Top Rope Wrestling Talk vote on who you think should win these awards.
Yes, this year is the first viewer's choice episode or edition of the Ropies.
Yeah. But the only thing is us as the hosts, we pick the choices that you guys get to pick from. So we still have some control.
We have some control, but we even wanted you in on this too, because what we wanted to do was nominate some people for these awards, get your feedback on it, and then put these polls out and come back in the new year with the results and basically hand out some awards or veto if necessary. You know, that sort of thing.
Yes. So what we're going to do, this was a three-person gig, and it's always going to be a three-person gig. So what we're going to do, or what I will do, is I will reach out to Grandma, and I will get her selections. So we're just going to do my selection and Dom's selection, and Grandma's will be a total shocking surprise to everybody when it gets posted. I kind of like that, though. You've got the two you know about, and then you've got the shocking surprise.
You got that mystery.
Yeah, you've got that mystery third. So we're gonna kick this off with Male Wrestler of the Year.
Okay.
Dom, what is your pick for Male Wrestler of the Year?
Well, in the spirit of knowing who you're going to pick, I'm not going to say him. I'm going to go in a different direction and go to a man who I absolutely love and respect. And even before he won a title, I put him at the top of any list of any wrestling ever. I'm going to go with Seth fucking Rollins, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. I mean, do I have to get into deep detail on who I'm picking?
You don't have to, but I guess you could make the announcement.
I am 135% picking MJF.
Okay. There's the most unshocking pick of all time.
Yes.
But it's there.
Yes. So our next category is Female Wrestler of the Year.
Hang on. We do have one nominee from the chat so far. We have Will Ospreay.
Yes.
I believe he's definitely in the running. He had a hell of a year. The Female Wrestler of the Year. Ooh. You know, this one's tough. But I think I got to go with Mommy on this one.
Okay.
I think I got to go with Rhea Ripley. I mean, she's had an amazing run as women's champion. She's running her own clique, regardless of what you want to think. She's had some tremendous matches. She's probably the, outside of maybe one or two names, she's probably the most dominant woman in wrestling right now, this year.
Okay.
And of course you said, Seth Bryan, you have taste. And wow. Mommy. Look at that. Great minds, man. Great minds.
Female Wrestler of the Year, huh? Oh, looking at everything that I can remember, man, it was actually some really good matches this year. There was some really good, I mean, there's been better in the past.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put Julia Hart on there. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm not putting her there. I'm just not gonna do that. I am gonna put Timeless Toni Storm.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I was kind of torn between her, Rhea, and Shida. Because this year they kind of had the biggest years. Like Toni and Shida both won that title twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea kept it practically the entire year.
Yeah.
But I think Toni Storm is a great candidate.
Yes.
And we're going to get to that one, Brian. We're going to get to that one. No worries.
Our next category is going to be Rookie of the Year.
Ooh,
your good. Rookie of the Year. It can be male or female. It doesn't matter. Me, I'm going to go with Nick Wayne.
Okay. That's not a bad pick at all. I'm gonna go off the beaten path because I kind of mentioned it to her in the interview, and I wasn't kissing ass because I've watched a lot of her stuff. She's literally been a pro for 13 months. My rookie of the year is Amaya. Like, that woman is amazing. She is Bull Nakano incarnate. If you haven't seen her, go and check her out. She's literally been around for a little over a year. She's already beaten the likes of, like, Vanessa Bourne from NXT. A laundry list of people. She's the first woman to ever wrestle at the Rose Bowl. I mean, she's had a superstardom type of rookie year. And I told her I would. I got to do it. I'm going to say Samaya.
There you go. All right. All right. Tag team of the year.
Oh, Julia's worth putting on there too. Yes. Thank you, Temple. Tag team of the year.
She's a rookie?
Oh, no, female. For female. For breakout, or for female of the year.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll go back, watch the tape. You know,
No. I got it. I'm good. So tag team of the year. This one can be tricky. This is going to be tricky. Because God knows WWE doesn't have any tag teams to choose from, and the ones they do are all jokes.
I mean, clearly it's Cody and Jay. No, I'm kidding.
You would say that. You.
I'm fucking joking.
You fucking Mark.
I'm fucking joking. Okay, I'm joking. I mean, there were a lot of great tag teams this year, but it's kind of, for me, it's hard to say none of them were greater than FTR. I mean, the last few months they've struggled, but before that, they had the AEW titles for a while, like three quarters of the year. And what's up, Lennox? How you doing? Oh, I haven't said it too, and I skipped it. And even Brian's saying FTR. It's kind of, yeah. I mean, like, there's FTR. There's practically everybody else at this point.
Aussie Open.
They're definitely
that's,
up there.
That's my selection.
They're definitely up there. I can't knock you for it. Aussie Open had a tremendous 2023. Mm-hmm. Outside of some Mark Davis injuries, they were through the roof, winning yes. titles in ROH, New Japan, having amazing matches in AEW, suffering the first kangaroo kick. I mean, that's historic.
It really is.
Creating the kangaroo kick, really, because MJF wouldn't have came up with it if it weren't for that.
I mean, that's the most devastating kick in all of professional wrestling. It's more devastating than the super kick.
It really is, and we have Aussie Open to thank for that. That alone ought to put him in the running.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Yeah, Temple agrees. Okay.
This is the tough one. This one right here is the toughie. This one's the toughie. Match of the year. The top rope wrestling talk match of the year.
Oh.
Oh,
that one is tough. Fuck. My God. There were so many amazing matches this year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I feel like we could do this with MJF alone, too, which is another thing. Like, I don't think we will. I think I already know what Wendy's going to pick. It's a certain death match, but I already know what Wendy's going to be. And we'd love to hear what you guys got for match of the year chat. So please, but
yes.
Percy, why don't you go first? I keep going first. You have a whack at this one.
I am going to go with the biggest main event in all of wrestling history. I am going with MJF versus Adam Cole at All In for the AEW World's title.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm a little surprised because I didn't think that's where you were going to go. I was thinking about this because we talked about this last week, and I was thinking about Match of the Year, and every time I came back to the same fucking match.
Okay.
And that match was MJF versus Bryan Danielson, Iron Man.
Yes.
There were so many great matches this year, but watching that one, I was blown away. I didn't know the Dragon still had it like that. He's very good. He took it to another level. I didn't know MJF could hang like that at that point. He did. And just the amazing display and the ring psychology on top of it had me go back to it every time. Like, this match was so great. Like, yeah, the death match, that was great. But this one hits different. This one had something else to it. This one had that extra, you know, this is what legitimized MJF and led him to stuff like Adam Cole and Jay White and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gotta stick with the Iron Man match. There were so many good ones. That is my bar none favorite match of the year.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to disagree with you. I can't believe that bitch slipped my friggin' mind. Like, Chad, I don't even.
I love you guys, but you got to come up with something different from us. We got to put we're trying to get nominations here.
So our next category is storyline of the year. The best storyline of 2023.
Okay. And we're going to get to that, but Ivan, are we talking New Japan or are we talking Forbidden Door?
Yeah.
Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega. Either one belongs there, by the way. Because they were two amazing matches. Kenny won in Japan, and then Ospreay came back and beat him in Canada.
Uh-huh. I can't wait for the rubber match.
Will Ospreay versus Tetsuya Naito was ridiculous. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. I don't know if it was Will versus Kenny, but it was ridiculous. I love that match.
Yes.
Okay, so story of the year.
Storyline of the year. Yes.
Again, what is it and why does it involve MJF? I don't want to do it, but it's kind of hard not to.
Okay.
Because if you don't think, like, this entire storyline saga of MJF and Adam Cole that has spun off in all these different directions. Like, we brought up the bidding war of 2024. If MJF leaves, AEW has no more stories. Because they're all built off of him. All of them. It started with him and Adam. Then Roddy jumped in on it. Then, you know, then you got the Devil and Joe and Jay and all these other guys. But it all starts and it all revolves around one man.
Max.
And so this entire, I don't know if we want to break it down into sections, if we want to call it a saga, but this entire, like, MJF, Adam Cole, epic saga that has taken place since, you know, before Better Than You, but since the blind tag tournament where these guys just got slapped together after a time limit draw.
Uh-huh.
That's all it took. It, from that little blip, all of a sudden, like, boom, and the entire wrestling landscape changes.
It really did. Holy shit. It really did.
Kenny and Ospreay from Forbidden Door. Okay, noted. The bloodline falling out in the summer of 2023. Okay, Lennox. Okay. Yeah, storyline of the year, but it's between MJF, Devil, and Sammy turning on. Oh, Sammy turning on the bloodline did happen this year, didn't it?
I mean, that's kind of the like fall, very the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end for the bloodline is when Sammy fucking.
Yeah, but that's like it went from Sammy turning at the beginning of the year to the whole fallout in the following summer. You could nominate that for sure because Sammy was a huge moment in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Jay was a big enough moment. And then after that, things got kind of weird. But those two moments were like, holy shit moments.
You know what?
What?
I'm giving my dude some fucking credit in these damn awards because he hasn't been brought up fucking anywhere. I am going to do Christian Cage and Darby Allin because that story is bitch has been going on for 3 fucking years. Yeah. However long Christian Cage has been in AEW.
And then getting Nick Wayne involved. And then now Nick Wayne's mama is involved.
Yes. Yes.
Now Nick Wayne has a mama and a new daddy. It is a wild story, and it's brought the TNT title back to relevance.
Yes.
Where you can't really call it the 24/7 title anymore because Christian's got it, and there's all these things bubbling around it and all these stories shooting off from it.
Yes. Yes, yes. Second to last category for the awards. Breakout Star of the Year. This right here is where I'm putting Julia Hart.
Okay. Okay. See, I think I don't know if we have to do it every year, but I think this year we need a male and female because I agree with Julia Hart. I do. I'm going to nominate Swerve on top of that.
Okay.
Because with all this Hangman stuff and the tournament and him nose to nose with Jon Moxley on Dynamite, he has finally broken the fuck out on national television. He didn't get the chance in WWE, and he did some stuff on NXT, but he never got in the world title picture there either.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's nose to nose with Jon Moxley and in the running to become a Triple Crown champion.
That's right.
So as much I love Julia Hart, if I could literally let's split the category, give it to them both. But if not Julia, it has to be Swerve.
Well, we can do a male and a female.
We can do that. We might do that. No, and Ivan says he's with Bruce on this one. Like he's leaning towards Julia.
We are doing that.
What did Lennox say? I'm still in shock of that since last Wednesday night. Yeah. I mean, this tournament has been great, but Moxley and Swerve are dominating it. No offense to Danielson. He's wrestling 3 times this week while wearing his wife's panties on his head as an eye patch.
So give me your female breakout star of the year.
Oh, it would definitely be Julia.
I've already got her in there. That's who I selected.
Oh, you mean I have to pick another one?
Yeah, you have to pick one. We're doing male and female.
You know what? I'd say Sky Blue. Because I talked about her already. She's come such a long way in such short time. And she's extremely young, like Julia Hart.
Yes.
I don't think she's had the same year, but if you said pick a breakout female that's not named Julia Hart, that's the next one that comes to mind.
Okay.
Yeah, even Brian's saying Swerve and Julia. Ivan, # Swerve Strickland for sure. Yes.
my male breakout star of the year. Yeah, this one's going to be tough.
Right? I mean, I guess we're forgetting about one person who kind of had a big year.
I'm going with little Eddie Guerrero, baby Eddie Guerrero. I'm going to go with fucking Dom Dom.
Oh, you're going with Dirty Dom. Okay. No, that's a strong pick. For a minute there, I thought you were going to go.
Oh, no. No, I didn't even think about that.
He broke out of the paid for by gimmick matches and actually got some big wins over The Miz and John Cena, and, you know.
Yeah. All right. Last category in the awards. Last category in our awards ceremony.
Lear's a good pick too. Sorry.
Yes. Faction of the year.
Ooh.
I'm going with the BCC.
Okay. So you're going with the Combat Club.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this one's tough. Mm-hmm. BCC is a great pick. This is another one. Like, I ran through clicks in my head and I was thinking BCC, but I can't say that because you said it.
There's two of them right off the top of my head that I could give you. That I would put in the top three.
You know what? I might say House of Black.
No, that's one of them.
I mean, they won the Trios titles this year. Julia's got the TBS title. I've been watching Deadline, and we're on the cage match now, so I don't know what happened on Collision. I don't know if House of Black ended up beating FTR, if they're going to get a title shot or not. Like, yeah. You know what? That was Lennox. That was the next one on my mind was Bullet Club Gold.
Yeah.
I believe they should be on the board.
They might make it.
They definitely deserve a nomination. I mean, I don't know if they've won it. They haven't really won a ton of titles, but they've had some epic fucking matches. Like, if you go back to those matches that Juice and Jay had with FTR.
Yes.
They helped FTR become Tag Team of the Year in those matches. They were incredible.
Yes. Well, with that being said, we have nominations. We've got to get Grandma's nominations. As soon as we do, I will start posting, or we will start posting some polls on
social media.
Yes, we'll probably try to do what we got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got 9 categories. So we should be able to do one a day in 9 days and then be ready for the new year.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the schedule goes, we probably won't be back to do the ropies until about somewhere around the 5th or the 6th. So we'll have a few weeks to put them out there to get you guys to vote, to get everything tabulated and come back and, you know, really, really go for it and give everybody, you know, the end of the year stuff and have fun with it.
Yeah.
But in order for you to vote, you're going to have to know where our social medias are.
Yes. You want to know where our social medias are? Damn it. Here it is. I am going to tell you. There is one place on Facebook where you can find us, and that is Top Rope Wrestling Talk. That is our group. That's where we have our threads. That's where we have our forums. That's where we have our fun. That's where we post our memes. And that's where we have the hottest music league in all of professional wrestling shit talking Facebook pages.
Yes. That
freaked me out.
Sorry.
You caught me off you caught me off guard with that one.
Gotcha. And
then you can find us on the X at Top Rope WT. Go on there, hit us up, shoot the shit, give us questions, comments, anything you want, you know, talk about on the show. And then you can go on COD's number one Instagram handle.
That I made.
Uno. Number one. It's at top_rope_wrestling_talk. Yes, that is it. Dog.
Bruce.
Give them the rest of the info.
Well, of course, if you're looking for our back catalog, you can always go to anchor.fm/TRWT, or you can check out our old YouTube channel for previous episodes, the original Meatheads, and more, which is a TRWT parentheses of Fox Den Jones. JAWN. It's a Philly thing because I made it too. And then, of course, and always, we are a part of the Debate Network. You can find us wherever you find Circle of Debate. So go to your Facebooks, go to your Twitter, your Twitches, your Instagrams, your Tiki Talkies, whatever the fuck you're on. And search for Circle of Debate, capital COD. Because you may pray to God, but your ass belongs to the COD.
Yes, COD, baby. We are on the COD. And that is the COD.
COD.
So, for grandma Wendy, stay fresh, cheese bags.
Yes, yes. Everybody, I know there's only minutes left, but enjoy whatever it is you may be watching. I don't care if it's Deadline, Final Resolution, Collision, whatever. Just enjoy wrestling in general. If it's not your cup of tea, let somebody else drink it.
Deuces, bitches.
Oh, yeah, I guess I got to fill in for Wendy, right? Bye!